Inside on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska. It's realestateconcepts.net. And Iowa Computer Repair. You want your computer to work? That's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. With us is Jeff Stein. Jeff is an author. He is a broadcaster. He is the former executive director of the Iowa Broadcast News Association, and he is here to talk about his latest project. It's called The Floppy Show. What in the world, Jeff? Welcome to the Business News Hour again. Good to have you here.
Always good to be back. Well, what have I gotten myself into
now? What have you done now?
Floppy Nation is hale, hearty, and strong across America. Floppy, of course, a reference to the puppet who teamed up with Dwayne Ellett for 30 years, from 1957 to 1987 on TV 13. Dwayne and Floppy were on the air at times 7 days a week with one program or another. The seminal program, of course, was the Floppy Show that kids would run home from school and watch. And you could have your birthday party at the Floppy Show. Kids were in the audience, and they got goodie bags with Highland potato chips and Mountain Dew and all sorts of other Iowa-based products.
All trade, I'm sure. Or were they sponsors?
I believe the sponsorship was in the form of here's your bag of potato chips.
Got it, yeah.
But one of the things that we have found is that as we who are baby boomers age, we think back to simpler times. And what could be simpler than a TV program with our favorite cartoons, with local celebrities, truly, and we maybe got to meet them. And that was in an age before we had cable television, much less the internet, much less everything from the palm of your hand on a smart device. And so Dwayne Ellett created this puppet, Floppy, in 1957 as part of a Humane Society program about pet care.
Really?
And he got the name, and you'll appreciate the beta testing that they must have done. They called him Mr. Dog to begin with. That was the name of the puppet, Mr. Dog. And they figured out that was a little off-putting.
A little off, yeah.
And some of the kids noted that he had floppy ears. And that's how we get the name Floppy. This was also around the time that Charles Schulz began Peanuts. And so Snoopy was popular, and Floppy, probably not coincidentally, is a beagle. Or as Dwayne would say, because Floppy had a rather large mouth, he was a bugle.
A bugle.
Not a beagle. The thing that has the staying power on all of this, Michael, is the fact that this was a show that was on the air for 30 years during amazing times of change in America. The idyllic late 50s, the turbulent 60s, throughout the 70s, and even into the late 80s. And the one constant was Dwayne and Floppy. Now, granted, Dwayne might have a leisure suit at one time because that was in vogue, or a three-piece suit another time. So Dwayne changed over time. Floppy even added a sweater at one point midway through the run. But you could always count on them to be there for 30 years. And I think that's what makes it so important today.
Did the show change any over those 30 years?
Very little. The biggest change is during the first decade, Dwayne rarely appeared on camera. He would appear behind a wall. It would be like a brick wall. And Floppy would appear at the top of the wall and talk to a young woman. One of five different, as they called themselves, then and now, floppy girls. So the host of the show, in essence, was a female who would interact with the puppet and the children. And occasionally, Dwayne would come out from behind the wall without Floppy. And Floppy became so popular, though, there was demand to make personal appearances. And so Dwayne started making personal appearances with Floppy. Now, those of us who think of it, think of the puppet coming out of a box. He didn't have a box at first. And so we have a photo in the new book, The Floppy Show, of Dwayne doing a stage show with Floppy, but he's wearing a trench coat with an empty sleeve, and Floppy comes out from the center of the trench coat.
Interesting.
Because they had not developed, if you will, the shtick yet. But pretty soon a box was developed. And then roughly 10 years or so into the run, Dwayne would appear on camera. There were no other co-hosts, and it was just Dwayne and the kids and Floppy.
Now, Dwayne was not a ventriloquist.
Not originally.
Right.
He taught himself. The idea was, let's do a dog puppet. And he was so talented. This is the thing that I think, and I hope that Floppy fans will appreciate, as I have, as you get older. The talent that Dwayne Ellett had was underappreciated at the time. He started in radio. First, he was at Drake University, was going to go to law school, and then took a course in radio, I think from the legendary Jim Duncan. Who else, right? And he then got a job at the radio station and became part of the barn dance. He would sing and accompany himself on the guitar. Became a staff announcer at the station. For more than a decade, while the Floppy Show was on TV, he was hosting a straight talk show on the radio. So talk about take this hat off, put this hat on. But Dwayne taught himself ventriloquism. He was an amateur woodworker, so he created the puppet himself in his garage. Someone asked me the other day, and I had forgotten that this actually is somewhat important. There was one Floppy.
Never others?
One Floppy. The whole 30-year run of the show.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. It is because of the wear and tear.
Sure.
Just from not only on television, but all of the
transportation and, yeah.
All the appearances. There were several boxes over time, but there was one Floppy. Now, Dwayne created other characters. And that's why I say his talent was so broad. They did a program in the 80s on Sunday morning called the Floppy Town Gazette. And it was Floppy as the publisher of the local newspaper in Floppy Town. And there were five other puppets. And Dwayne would create the puppets, write the script, do all the voicing, act out with the puppets, do his own original artwork. And oh, by the way, he created and sang the theme song. And when you think of just the myriad of different talents involved with that, plus the staying power of 30 years. There's a business angle to this, too, which is really interesting. We would think nothing of, if you decided that you were going to create a character for your employer or as part of your employment, you might say to yourself, this character might take off. I want to own the rights to the character. I don't know that your employer would let you, though, because they would realize the value of that intellectual property. Well, Dwayne created Floppy and said, I'm going to own the character. And the station said, fine. So he registered the copyright and trademark for Floppy himself personally. And he joked in later years that they could never fire him because he'd be taking the dog with him.
And how many other places would have loved to have had Floppy there?
Arguably. Many, sure, because it became so successful. And, you know, the history of kid shows in America, in Cedar Rapids, for example, there was a cowboy named Marshall J. And the Marshall rode off from Cedar Rapids into a job in San Francisco, just picked up lock, stock, and a horse wagon and went to San Francisco. So it could have happened.
Sure.
But the foresight of that allowed him then to do these stage shows, earn additional money. I mean, it's no different than in the old days of radio, the original days you'd have staff performers on the air and they might do whatever at the radio station. They'd have a music program and then at night they'd go play a dance. And this was the same sort of thing where he would take Floppy around the state. That's why you had Floppy T-shirts, which I will assure you, you were not here at the time, but that was the height of fashion in the 1970s.
If you had a Floppy T-shirt.
You had a Floppy T-shirt, because you couldn't just order them on the internet.
No.
You had, that showed that you saw Floppy in person, or you were in Des Moines to stop and get a T-shirt at the station.
Now, Dwayne, unfortunately, died suddenly. It was an accident, wasn't it?
Well, he passed away of a heart attack while jogging.
Right.
Literally just days after the 30th anniversary of the first appearance of Floppy on the air.
How was it then that the trademark and the name, how did you acquire that?
I don't have that.
Okay.
That passed to the family. What I've had the great fortune of doing over the past 10 years is working with the TV station and then meeting the family and being able to help preserve what existed. The TV station owns the right to the TV shows, and the family owns the right to the character. And they've been just wonderful about understanding that this is a legacy that when you're close to it, maybe you don't appreciate. For example, the TV station, well, how many owners ago was this? Now, every new owner, and there will soon be another new owner of the TV station, has to have explained to them what is floppy and why does anyone care after 30 years? Well, a lot of people do because it was such a big part of their lives for 30 years. I don't know this, but I think if it was my parent doing all of this, I wouldn't think much of it because it was just dad's work.
Sure.
And to have it have such lasting impact on people. For it to have such lasting impact on people to this day is really a testament to, again, I don't want to oversell, but to the genius, because of the fact that if you think about it, working with kids is not easy. Kids and animals, that's always the stereotype. To do it for 30 years and 7 days a week at times and come up with somewhat fresh material. Now, in fairness, Dwayne used to say there were times people would talk about, well, as these kids who like the show age, maybe you should change things. And he said, we find that it is cheaper to run the same cartoons and use the same jokes and just rotate new kids in.
And the jokes. Everybody the remembers
riddles, yes.
The jokes,
yeah.
The riddles.
Yeah, if it was your birthday, you got to hold a cardboard question mark, and then you would be called upon to give a riddle to Floppy. And they would be such chestnuts as, what's the biggest pencil in the world? Why did the man put the car in the oven? Why did the man throw the clock out of the window? And every time, without fail, Floppy did not know the answer. And it would delight the kid, who could then deliver the punchline and then beat Floppy's nose. There was one time Dwayne just slipped, and Floppy had the right answer.
Uh-oh.
And he said in an interview, the child was crestfallen.
I bet.
And he swore he would never allow Floppy to make that mistake again. So Perry Mason lost one case. Floppy got a riddle right one time.
We're with Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen. He is the author of the new book, The Floppy Show, who has been making the rounds all over the state of Iowa. So what happens when you show up at the bookstores or you talk about this? As I was indicating at one time, I was with the American Marketing Association, and I was in a lunch line, and I happened to say the word floppy, and I hung up the phone from you, a conversation mm-hmm. with you, and people are going, floppy, floppy, floppy. What's floppy? What's going on with floppy? So how is the reception? What are people saying out there?
They really remember a happier time. They may remember when they were on the show. They may just remember that it was part of their growing up. I mean, if you think again about a show that was on the air for 30 years, for how many hundreds of thousands of people? Was it always there every day after school, just like the peanut butter sandwich and milk for a snack?
Mm.
I mean, it's that ingrained in the fabric of people growing up. And so they don't want to necessarily, well, some do, they don't necessarily want to admit that they still have this affection and fondness. But I think at this point, I hesitate to say, but I think Floppy is cool again. He was cool on college campuses in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
It's cool to like that because what it does is it speaks to a simpler time, a time where you now appreciate the talent of the individual who brought it to you. And it goes on to other things. Maybe you were on the show and it was your 8th birthday. So now you've made the connection with the show and that birthday party and the fact that mom and grandma drove you to Des Moines. I mean, it just spins out into so many good memories beyond simply, I watched a TV show.
Would Floppy still play today?
I would love to say yes, but I doubt it. And the reason is I don't think kids are as easily entertained these days. When kids are handed a smartphone or a tablet almost from birth and they see so many moving images, I'm not sure that a puppet and the interaction is the same. Because when you watch the videos, Michael, and in putting together the various DVDs, and you see the look in the kids' eyes. It just impresses me every time I look at it, where it's just wonder. They don't understand, and they think it's the coolest thing
mm-hmm.
ever. And even as they got a little older, where they knew they weren't supposed to like it, they still really liked it. And you just see the look on their faces, and I don't think kids have that level of innocence today.
I wonder about that. I have a 9-year-old granddaughter who happens to live with me mm-hmm. and with us, and she watches YouTubers with great consistency. But some of the things that she watches, you know, are people like cutting open slimy things or you just, and she's mesmerized by all of this. I kind of think, I don't know, maybe I'm being too innocent here, but I kind of think that this would still play, especially in younger audiences.
It very well might, especially younger as opposed to 8, 9, 10-year-olds.
Sure.
So maybe it would be a younger audience. It's a real knack, as you know. I have no experience with this, and it's probably a good thing. Trying to relate to a child is difficult. And that's why I love watching these old programs with Dwayne, because the kids sometimes acted up a bit. You would watch what just appeared to be a free-for-all on the set of kids running around the TV studio. But to marshal that and to be in control of that for so long is difficult. The thing that wouldn't work today is finding a spot on a television station. And that's actually how the weekday floppy show came to an end in 1984, because the station decided it could make more money with syndicated programming like an Oprah or what, or Donahue or whatever, and floppy was then relegated to the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the concept was that it would be the adults who had the purchasing power. Well, I don't know about you, but I've pushed a grocery cart down the cereal aisle, and I can tell you that there are kids in those other carts that have a lot of purchase power because of the insistence to buy this product or that. But regardless, I'm just not sure it would work in today's time. Certainly not as a television show in that same way.
Final question, Jeff. Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Floppy Show, new book that we're talking about. Other than one floppy, other than one time giving the riddle, was there another thing that you've discovered in writing this book that might surprise people?
There's something that might surprise people in that Dwayne had a tremendous sense of humor, which you could see on the air, but it operated at multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
And it sometimes could be a little bluer than what the kids might be able to handle. There was a lot of talk over time about, well, he would do all of these public appearances, and obviously he would be compensated for it. But what people didn't know is that many times he would tell the folks at the station at the front desk, okay, I'll be back in a couple hours. And he would just leave. Floppy would be in the car already waiting, and they'd go off to the children's hospital and just go up and down the wing. No announcement, no fanfare, just, I think I need to go see the kids.
Hmm.
And Dwayne would draw a picture and give it to the kid. And when I first started working with this, I heard from a young person who had been quite ill, and Dwayne stopped by and drew a picture. And it was just a treasured possession. And the person who knew the story sent me an email and said, please tell his family, because how would anyone know?
Right.
So the fact that we're all multifaceted, but it's nice sometimes to hear that someone who was such a big part of our lives on television and in person
also was real.
Also would go off and do those sorts of things because he had three kids of his own.
Oh. Good stuff. Jeff Stein, ladies and gentlemen, on the Business News Hour, talking about the new book, The Floppy Show. If you missed any or all of this, it's up on our podcast page, of course, and we do have links so that you can go directly to The Floppy Show online so you can find out more about the book and your appearances wherever you happen to be traveling.
We'll be coming back to Ankeny and Indianola and Marshalltown and Toledo and Ames. And it's a busy spring, but I appreciate the time. Yeah, floppyshow.com. Thefloppyshow.com has all of it, as you indicated in the link.
All right. We are out of here. Thanks so very much for doing this, Jeff.
Thank
appreciate
you,
it. All right. More to come on the Business News Hour.